Welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastic Broncos are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is 4x4 Toyota Tyler, apparently. And joining me today in the studio is Mr. I don't even know what you are anymore. It's just Jimmy. Jimmy's here today, everybody.
Woohoo!
Yay.
Well, I'm happy.
I'm glad somebody is.
I think you're just mad that I don't have a fancy new nickname.
I am. I've kind of run out of nicknames. 381 episodes later. So.
Oh, you've reused some in the middle of those times.
I've never reused any.
Yeah.
I've come up with 380 nicknames for you.
I'm shocked. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anna 3 is your next nickname, just FYI.
Good one.
Anyways, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Our the warehouse is blowing away.
Yeah, it's so freaking windy today.
Oh my God. I was freaking here. I told you this. I don't think I told any listeners. I haven't posted the video yet either, but I was here Thursday. I think it was last Thursday.
Okay.
By myself. Everybody had gone home. I was finishing up some emails or something like that. And I hear this gust of wind pick up and this loud crash. But since we moved into the warehouse here, our front door kind of like just flies open randomly with the wind when a wind comes up. And there's no stop on the front door. And so it flew open and hits the window.
Yeah.
There. The handle of the door contacts the window before anything else. And so I hear this loud crash. I'm like, fuck, there goes the front window. And I was like, well, I guess I'm calling the landlord and saying, you know, I called him. I was like, hey, so remember how I've been telling you since we moved in that we need a door stop on the door or shit was going to get broken?
Yes.
And she goes, don't tell me. Do I have to come down there and bring a bunch of plywood? I was like, you got lucky. The window is not broken. I think I can jimmy rig it back together, but the frame around the window is fucked. So you're going to have to plan on getting that fixed over the next couple of days.
Yeah. And that's the frame around the window that was on the door.
On the door. Exactly. Yeah.
So the door flew open so fast and flew against the window 180 degrees.
Uh-huh.
The handle collided with the window, didn't break that window.
No.
But the window that was in the door came to such an abrupt stop that it broke out of its frame.
Exactly. Holding it in the door, yeah.
But that window didn't break either.
No, I don't know how nothing broke. Like what is none this? Of the windows.
Bulletproof
I don't
glass know. You got here?
Maybe. I don't know. Whatever it is. I need to get some like in the Forerunner or something.
Yeah.
So anyways, they came back and put a new... What is that? The door dampener.
Okay.
For opening and closing the door. It helps it close easily or whatever.
Slow it down a little. Yeah.
They put a new one of those on and put a stop on the door. And while we were in here recording, the door flew open again when we were like, whoa, what was that?
But it hit the stopper.
It hit the stop.
Mm-hmm. And it stopped before the window.
It did.
It also didn't bust out of its frame.
Nope, it did not.
But it... The dampener did not prevent the window from flying open. The
door from flying, yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
And when I was even walking in today because of the storm, the door almost flew out of my hands.
Yeah.
Because it was just so windy, the wind caught it. But you would think that it would put a stronger dampener on there.
Something, I don't know. We just have the door locked now. I think we may end up putting a ring doorbell or something on the warehouse. So if you come up and need to get in, just ring it like the laser place we go to.
Yeah.
Down in Rancho.
Yep.
Well, it's light not object. Rancho. Yeah.
Light it's object. Not, it's not a Rancho, but it's over that way.
I keep thinking I go to Mather Field to get the light object.
No, you're going the wrong way.
I end up at light object each time, but I guess I'm not near Mather at all.
No, you need to, I don't even know what road that is.
I was a terrible Boy Scout when I was little. Yeah, apparently. My sense of direction is nowhere near.
I found that out anywhere. This weekend for sure. I knew it a little bit, but yeah, this weekend definitely.
No,
I was like, it's just over that way. Don't you remember? He's like, y'all know. And he had to like type it into navigation.
Me and Google Maps are great buddies.
There you go.
And Gaia too. So anyways, I forgot where we were going with that, but, the storm has been very interesting here in Sacramento.
Yes.
So
And it's not letting up this entire week.
No, we may have a slight clear day on Thursday.
Oh, that'll be nice.
So
that's when I'm supposed to go pick up panels.
Oh, that would be nice for you.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
And I want to say thanks to everybody that has listened to the podcast and did write in and ask to get onto the testing plan for the panels.
Oh.
So I got a good small handful, a good handful of people that wrote in.
Did anybody write in for second gen Forerunners?
Yes.
Did you tell them no and to fuck off?
No.
Dang it.
But I figure, you know, if I get five people doing some testing and making sure things are working right and everything lines up, then that's good. And I've got three of them here in the Morphlabe shop.
Yeah, that's true. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, having a steel, aluminum would work too. Aluminum conducts electricity. It's just not ferrous. So if I have aluminum panel, I can thin out the powder coating and weld on the aluminum tailgate.
Yes.
Use it as a welding table.
You just want a raw one?
Maybe a raw aluminum. I might be interested.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about that.
I think I have the final prototype version I didn't take to the powder coater.
I might be down for that. Let me think about that for a little bit and think if I have any uses for having a welding table out on the trail.
Yeah.
Rather than just welding on the ground like a peasant.
The problem with the steel one, the aluminum to some effect, but the steel one, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Because I cut my prototypes out of steel.
Mm-hmm.
I do 1/16 steel at that point it gets down into gauges and I'm not sure what gauge it is.
Yeah.
It's a thin, mild steel that I cut the prototypes out of because it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it's still heavier than the aluminum. It's crazy. So with steel ones, it might be a good idea, but it's going to be a heavy tailgate. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So that's just your only thing that you need to concern yourself with.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to think about that one. Aluminum would work just fine as a welding table. So I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Anyways. So you've got,
and you got a laser.
I do have a laser.
So you can actually, if you wanted to, you could set it to go overnight or something and actually engrave into the aluminum instead of me doing an engraving through powder coating. Cause it would take a lot longer to engrave into the aluminum, but you would have the time.
I wonder if anodizing is thin enough to pass electricity through it.
Possibly.
I wonder if I can just go get the tailgate anodized then and still use it as a welding table.
Maybe.
Ideas, Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, the day that this episode comes out, I'm supposed to be picking up the panels and I am only waiting on the clips still, but they actually might be in that amount of time.
Nice.
I'm still having a hell of a time finding the clips, the little plastic inserts for the tailgates for the first gen Forerunners.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send one of the people that contacted me doesn't have any of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to send him the second gen Forerunners versions. And see if those work.
Okay.
And have him be a test dummy. Otherwise, I've found them as low now as $1.50 a piece.
Wow.
But our good friend Rerim has asked or pleaded one of those things that he said that he could 3D print them. So that might be an interesting direction to go and see how much he would charge me to print 200 of those. And we need to draw them up. And really what I need to do is send him one.
Yeah.
And then, we can see if we can 3D print them, which might be an interesting avenue to go down.
Yeah.
So that's all in the works. Everything else is in besides me making instructions or doing videos or any of that jazz. But I think the people that are going to be sending these out to are pretty smart people. Maybe 4 out of 5.
Not if 3 of them work here.
Well, 2 of them work here. 1 of them's a boss.
That's true. Definitely don't trust that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I have enough people on the list already. If you're dying to have one of these, maybe message me and I'll be a nice guy. I could use another gladiator guy, but I was approached by somebody that said I might be able to work with the Jeep Show podcast.
Oh, that'd be a great one.
Because they have a gladiator on there. And
Tony, right?
Tony has the gladiator. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I'll get one out to them and then be able to join them on a podcast. So that'd
be cool.
You were on there.
Uh-huh.
That would be pretty cool to do, but they're probably going to be at least another few weeks ish to, I want to get the panels out to customer, the pre-customers, so they can do any, do the first round, see how things go, see if the things line up, see if there's any major glaring issues. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe a week or so after that, I'll post them for sale online.
Nice.
Once the clips come in.
Yeah. Once everything's good to go.
Yep.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those are coming along. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I also went down to Stellar Built.
Okay.
Again. Uh-huh. And we 3D scanned the FJ80 and the 200 series. So now I have 3D scans of 80, 100 and 200 series Land Cruisers.
Nice. So you'll be able to, all those holes are set. You know exactly where they are. And you can start designing and building a template.
Yeah, I just have no idea how to run any of the software that would run a 3D scan, but
yeah,
I figured this is a much quicker and faster method than me possibly doing it by hand.
Yeah.
So,
more accurate for sure.
Yeah. No, precision,
accurate. Yeah.
Another interesting thing on the snail armor front, since mm-hmm. we're going down this path mm-hmm. randomly, which wasn't planned. Uh-huh. I looked at my last 90 days of snail armor versus the last year at 90 days. Uh-huh. And something very odd stood out.
Okay.
You're never going to guess it. So I'm just going to tell you. In this most recent 90 days, the number two source of traffic was from a Honda Ridgeline forum.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And so I dug into it and I went to the forum. I forgot what it was called, but I went to the forum and I Google searched snail armor. Uh-huh. And somebody had made a post.
Okay.
And it said, does anybody know somebody that makes something similar to a snail armor for a Honda Ridgeline?
Okay.
And I was like, interesting. And I read through the comments and everybody's like, no, nobody makes something. Nobody does it. I guess somebody makes like a bed mat.
Okay.
And people are like, I like my bed mat, but I don't, you know, like if I'm doing anything dirty, I take it off. Uh-huh. And so I signed up to the forum and I
made a post
and I responded and I was like, hey, you guys have driven enough traffic to make the owner of snail armor realize that you guys are interested.
There's a demand
for this for a Honda Ridgeline, which I never would have had expected.
Isn't that what somebody had recommended to me?
They said the Avalanche.
Avalanche. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. Avalanche Ridgeline, same thing.
So I said, I'm open to possibly making one if somebody's in the Sacramento area, which is where I am, that I can meet up with and draw one. Uh-huh. And then by the end of that day, somebody had responded and said, hey, I live down and sort of by Stockton, but I have a meeting in 2 days up in Sacramento.
Nice.
I said, oh, I'm headed to Stellar Built in 2 days in Sacramento. DM me and let's see if we can arrange a time. And so I met up with Dennis down in SAC area. And I drew up a Ridgeline tailgate.
Nice.
They're actually really cool little trucks.
Huh?
They're not an off-road truck for the most part, but as a truck, they're, mm-hmm. you know, for somebody driven truck or somebody that wants to use it as a truck, not mm-hmm. a crawler or off-roader or something. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some people might be using them as an overland rig, but their tailgates open two directions.
Okay.
They'll open normal tailgate, flop down, or there's another handle on the underside of the tailgate that you can open and it'll open like a door.
Oh, that's kind of neat. So it's a dual hinge system.
Yeah. So it'll open driver's side. I don't remember. I think it opens, the hinge is on the driver's side.
Okay.
And it'll swing out or it'll lie down like a normal tailgate. Yeah.
Okay.
But that makes actually the layout a little difficult because there's a lot of curves on the exterior of the panel or of where the panel would be because there's hinges and latch systems and everything out there. Plus it has four bolts in the body of the tailgate and then like four bolts on the very tip top that are like small screws. So I'm going to have to figure that one out. Mm. But Dennis says he travels a lot for work and he goes all over the Sacramento area and he, you know, just keep his number and he'd be willing to meet up another time for a prototype. So
nice.
Who knows, maybe I'll have Ridgelines in the next batch with the Land Cruisers, the new Tundra and a Ridgeline, you know, it might be interesting.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
And then I'll see if I'll just go on that forum and do a group buy and then see how many they want and just maybe do that times 10% and keep a few extra.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, that's so random.
A fun little, yeah, fun little side tangent of would have never thought that.
No. Yeah. And it was enough people that boosted it. My first point of interest, first people coming in were actually from Trail Tacoma.
Okay.
And then it was this Ridgeline forum. And then it was my Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll check that out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Cool. So that's fun. We haven't launched any new products yet on more flight side. So we have a couple.
You have some in the works.
We have two that are really close to being done and ready. We just need to get product images and get them out. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we got those coming up. We have a couple of prototypes being done and fitted up right now as well for other launches. So
okay, nice.
Fun stuff coming out this year. Let's see. We have a giveaway for this month.
We do.
Which is a really awesome Devos light, the Light Ranger. We had those guys on the last Monday's episode. So you guys got to kind of listen to their story, figure out where they come from and how they got into product development and kind of a little bit of how they process product development, which I found fascinating.
I really liked their whole side of how much product development goes into an actual product.
Yeah.
Like as a developer, like we each have our own companies, mm-hmm. right? And we kind of, I don't know if the product development side of things on are in our favor to some extent, but after listening to Rich and having him tell us about like how every single thing of the Devos Light Ranger was thought out and how they specifically got certain items because they thought it would be better. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, damn, I mean, I just make a flat piece of aluminum, but you know, that's, you put a lot of thought and effort into that light. And so it's just neat to hear the product developer talking about how a product does the product developing. Yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
I thought it was pretty cool too. So we have one of those to give away this month. If you guys want to get entered for it, do that over at irate4x4.com. Fun little forum board that a good buddy of ours, Austin, runs. There's a lot of good conversations over there. There's a really, really cool Toyota forum board. And then there's a really, really cool Ford Axle forum as well. Mm-hmm. So
that's about all that's talked about in the Ford forum.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's pretty much the only forums worth going to other than Snail Trail 4x4 one as well.
Right.
So those Which three is forums
the
all
the top forum in the watch, listen, and discuss
it is.
Section.
It is for sure. So you guys can go check that out. Over at the Snail Trail 4x4 forum is where all the signups are located for the extra things that we'll do for the people that do want to support the show. So thank you. That is, if you want to go support the show, that's how you do it. We love and appreciate everybody out there that does come and support the show. It keeps me and Jimmy interested and it keeps us kind of coming up with some fun ideas for the people that are supporting the show. One of them is the monthly giveaway. The other one is a gift box that we do. If you want to sign up for the gift box tier, that one is pretty much all set, ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, we just have some cosmetic things to do for it. Mm-hmm. I need to snap some of the photos and make the flyers for the inside, which I don't even know if anybody looks at those things, but I figured if somebody wants to know a little bit more information about what they're receiving, then it's nice to have some paperwork in there for them.
Cool. Yep. So, we will have, there's a very apparent theme with this gift box coming out and, we're going to have somebody on in April to talk about them.
Yes. Probably the second week of April.
Second week of April.
I think that's when we'll do the gift box reveal.
Yeah.
If we can get it out in time.
Yep.
My goal is to have the gift box reveal and the guest on for the second week of April.
Cool. I think that would work out really well because third week we're in Moab.
Yep. And which we have plans for another interview at least during that time.
Cool. Sounds good. I like it. Yeah. We've got a few, we had five or six interviews lined up over the next couple of months. So it'll be a lot of fun. A lot of really cool, interesting stories coming to the podcast here over the next couple of months. So everybody stay tuned. And if you guys remember, if you want to get in for that gift box, we are opening up signups April 1st.
Yes.
And then those will go through April 30th.
And
That is not a joke. Correct. So that'll go. Where did April Fools come from?
I don't know.
I want to like look that up and be like, where the hell did this start?
We're going to do a drunk history drunk episode.
Yes. Let's do a drunk history episode on April Fools. Gift box tier will be open in April. So you'll have all of April to get in and that will get you in for October's gift box, which is Jim's month, at the end of the year there. So
absolutely.
Let's see. What else do we got?
Do we want to do any reviews?
Not on this episode. We have quite a bit to get through, I think. So
okay,
we'll skip reviews for today. We do have a voicemail, though.
Okay, let's do that.
It's a return caller.
Oh, excellent.
I think he's calling back to answer some questions we had.
Even better.
It's a really short one.
Is he? Oh.
Yeah. Let's see what he has to say.
He's just going
to
send us to a hey, Jimmy, if you want to know more about trailer specs, go to this website.
Yeah, let me Google that for you.
Yeah.
All right, here you.
Hey, Tyler and Lenny. Hey, I got your Baofeng battery charged up for you.
That it?
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Lenny.
Well, what's that all about?
When we were out at Hammers and I was running comms for Amber's team.
Yeah.
I was using a Baofeng handheld to get from the kitchen camp. Fuck, what's that called again? The kitchen arena. I don't know. Remember what we called
at
it?
Camp.
At camp to the repeater up on Fisher.
Okay.
And so I was just using that handheld, but I used it all day and ran the battery down and I gave out all my other handhelds. So I didn't have a spare battery or a spare handheld.
Right.
And so Lenny had a spare handheld on him. So I just took his battery and gave him my battery.
So you did a little switchy switch.
We did a little switchy switch, but I'm pretty sure it's the same battery. So Lenny, I'm pretty sure you can just keep that battery. And I think I have yours, unless you want yours back. If it's sentimental or something, we can swap that back out for you.
Email him Tyler@snailtrail4x4.com and you guys can figure that out.
I'll check it in 3 months. Okay, cool. Thanks, Lenny. All right. So voicemails are all good. All done. I was hoping he was going to give us some knowledge, more knowledge on trailers.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe another time.
Yeah. Somebody did tell me that for trailers, you're only required to have the three lights in the center back of your trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't need them on the edges, on the sides, nothing. Yeah. Just the center back.
Okay.
I was like, okay, cool.
That works.
I didn't reconfirm that or look that up to see if that is correct, but that's what a listener told me.
Got it.
So. We have a big to-do list.
We do have a to-do list. Do we want to get into the worst one first?
The worst one? Sure. I like bad news.
Well, our good buddy passed away.
Oh, I don't like bad news. I don't want to do this one.
Yeah.
I am refusing to believe this one. No.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wish we could refuse to believe it.
I know.
A king to the off-roading community. A legend in the off-roading community.
A true legend. He is really, in my opinion, the inventor of Toyota rock crawling.
Yeah, I would go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, people rock crawled in Toyotas before.
Mm-hmm.
He
really badly, though.
He brought the inventions to the world, but I think he reinvented the Toyota rock crawling for sure.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm sure most of you guys have heard already. But it's been about a week now.
March 8th was when it happened.
Yeah.
The morning of March 8th.
Morning of March 8th, Marlon from Marlon Crawler had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
We, unfortunately, have been trying to get Marlon on the podcast since we last heard he had heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing it softly.
Yep.
Yeah, we did not try to hurt any feelings or pressure anybody. And apparently we should have pushed a little harder.
Yeah.
But anyways, we do want to give our condolences to his family and everybody in the community. It's a major loss. He was a great guy and an outstanding individual and a crazy, crazy inventor.
Absolutely brilliant, brilliant engineer.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. He is the reason that we have dual cases.
Yep.
Underneath. Well, he's not the reason we have them underneath our rig, but because of him, the Toyota dual case and all the torques, Jason Chris can hit your button.
220:1 gear ratios.
Yeah. At least. Yeah. Right. I think the new one in Mike's is like 500 and something.
He did a dual 4.7s. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So because of his ingenuity and his creativity and engineering, he was the one that invented the adapter plates to put the T cases together.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all blew up from there.
Yeah. And multiple things blew up. And then, that's when Marfields were, Marfields were invented.
Yep.
Yeah. The Marlin Burfield.
Marlin Burfields.
Yeah.
So I know that, you and your father are extremely close. I know that Marlin would just, came over to like your guys' house when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
I know that your dad, was in an off-roading club with Marlon. And, you know, so I know it's hit you guys really hard, but.
Yeah, that was a hard phone call. My dad hadn't heard yet.
Yeah.
Apparently it happened. So I thought that it had happened like the night before. And I got the call around 10 a.m. from a good friend who's really, really good friends with the family. And they told me, and I was like, oh man. So I called my dad right away and I was like, hey, did you hear? And he goes, no, hear what? What's going on? And I was like, are you sitting down? And he goes, I can be. And so I was like, there's no real good way to say this. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
Marlon's no longer with us. He took it hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's, I mean, he's just such a awesome dude. Like forget about the stuff that he did for Rock Crawling.
Right.
And Toyotas and everything. He was just an amazing person.
Genuine.
Yes. Yeah, super genuine, always open to help people. A crazy memory for people.
Yeah. We've talked about that. Yeah.
Absolutely insane memory. He remembers everybody and anybody.
He might not remember your name right at the moment, but as soon as you say it, you'll see him kind of go through this Rolodex in his head.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, I remember you. I met you in 2016 at a NorCal 4x4 event or whatever at the Cal 4 Wheel event over off of whatever road that is over in SAC.
You know, he just starts stringing all these memories together from that. And he's like, oh yeah. And then that's the same event where I went out and, you know, we went out and did this that time and you broke that and we had to do this. And then, oh, that's where I met this person too. And you know that person because of this. And then he just goes on. I'm just like, oh my God, this is crazy. So really amazing, genuine guy. He did go peacefully from all everything that we've heard. There was no pain associated with it from what we can tell.
Yeah. From what we heard, he literally went in his sleep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he was out on a cruise with his wife, having some fun for the week out on a cruise, and they love their cruises. And so he went to bed one night and didn't wake up. So,
shall we give a moment of silence?
Yeah. Let's give a podcasting moment of silence for Marlon Chukowski.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep. Chukowski. Okay,
I didn't want to try.
It's a hell of a name. If you're looking at it, you're like, how the fuck do you say that? Marlon Chukowski, thank you for everything you've done for people around you as well as the off-roading world. There's some plans moving forward for Marlon in the near future that I'm hoping the community can come together and make happen. So we will announce those plans once they come into fruition.
Once they're more finalized.
Yep.
Yeah.
So moment of silence for Marlon. Thanks, buddy. We're going to miss you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Yep.
All right. On to some happier news.
Yeah.
You got a new toy. A big toy. It has four wheels.
Yes, that one.
And has a horse on the front, and it's not a Mustang.
No, it is not. It is a Bronco.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
What was it, like 2 years and 900 months?
A day under 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I ordered it on March 11, 2021.
Yeah.
And I didn't even get the one that I ordered.
No, you didn't.
So, like, technically, mine is still on order. But I finally got my hands on one, picked it up on paid for it March 10th, 2023.
Wow. So are you going to cancel your order?
I don't think so.
No, you're going to have two Broncos?
No.
You're going to sell one?
Resale value on Broncos is amazing right now.
Right?
It's like a $20,000 profit. So
yeah,
I'm going to keep my order and sell it if it gets built. So
pay off a third to half of the Bronco that you just got?
Yep, pretty much.
Dang.
Yeah, I don't know. I have never, ever purchased a brand new vehicle before.
Okay.
I've always been under the impression and just in my own opinion that buying new vehicles is a waste because you just lose the value as soon as you go off the lot.
Yeah. Well, not with these.
But not with these, apparently. The resale value on them is crazy right now. And, you know, we were looking for... I think we've talked about this, what kind of why we wanted the Bronco,
right?
What need it filled for us. And it is the wife's vehicle. It's going to be her daily driver. We're going to sell the Subaru, which is kind of funny because the Bronco has an all-wheel drive. option.
Yeah. 4A.
4A. So for all. And so I was like, look, babe, we don't have to give up your Subaru. You can still drive a Subaru. It's just a bigger version now.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, cool. That's good. I was like,
she's like, I like that mode.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I just did a face palm and walked away.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, the Bronco is super freaking nice.
Yes, it is.
I had an idea in my head of what it would be. And it has, so far under first impressions, it has exceeded all of those ideas.
Well, I can easily say that the back seat is comfortable.
That's good. Was there, how was sitting back there? Cause like I was looking at it and I was like, I don't know if I could sit back there for an extended amount of time.
If I was sitting in the front seat, mm-hmm. I think you'd be okay.
Okay. Perfect. Okay.
So Jason was sitting behind the secretary.
Okay.
And he looked a little cramped.
Okay.
But I was sitting behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had plenty of room.
Okay.
So, and I told you to scoop, like there's room you could scoop back.
Okay. Yeah, and I did have it pulled. My seat was up far enough that my knee, if I just relaxed, my knee was over hitting the dashboard.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's usually how I drive anyway. so I felt that there's an adequate room for, I mean, I'm 5'8". So uh-huh. I think, average size human being fits fairly well back there. Mm-hmm. And we had three people in the back.
Yeah.
When we were cruising around.
Three adults.
I think Jason was fine, but it looked a little tight.
Yeah.
But I think it was okay. We drove around for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. Maybe I wouldn't want to go on a like massively long road trip and be stuck in the back.
45 minutes at a time is okay.
Yeah. 45 minutes at a time was all right.
Uh-huh. Okay. So,
is there any highlights you want to say about it besides, yeah, you got it?
Not really. I mean, it's super nice inside. There's a lot of little details in the interior that are like little hidden gems to find, right?
Okay.
And so, and just really thought out, like again, what? Like product
can
development.
Can you give us an example?
Apparently there's a bottle opener in the vehicle somewhere.
Yeah. In the back.
In the back. I haven't found it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's a bottle opener somewhere. The netting and the colors to accentuate the highlights in the interior.
Yeah.
On the netting was really neat. And okay. On the vents, the mm-hmm. AC and heating vents, the grab handles to get in the vehicle. Those were kind of clever and neat ideas.
Those are nice for getting into the rear. It was a great spot.
Nice. Perfect.
Yeah. I liked it. I tried it. They're more on the B pillar.
Do you typically need help getting in the rear? Sorry.
I looked up at first at the roof line and there wasn't a handle there. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll just mm-hmm. sort of hop in the rear. And then I saw the handle on the B pillar.
Oh, okay. It's on the B pillar.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it was nice because then you could just grab that and put a foot up and slide on into the rear.
Perfect. Yeah. They have those great and good positions to slide on in.
Was there no, like, I know Jeep has a bunch of little Jeeps. Or the headlights and the grill markings mm-hmm. all over the vehicle. Have you found any like little Broncos or little furred symbols or anything?
Not yet, but I haven't taken a lot of time to look really closely and look over the vehicle and see what I can find. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate, because I store stuff on my dashboard a lot.
Right.
And so I appreciated the fact that they had like little random
pockets
on the dashboard to put stuff on, like my sunglasses, a hat, my fast track for the Bay Area when I'm going through all the toll plazas in the Bay Area.
You don't need that anymore.
You don't need it?
Well, as long as your account has your license plate attached to it, then they take the photos of the license plate and they can subtract it off of that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
But the new Ferd doesn't have, it wasn't on your account. So if you went down to the Bay.
That's true. The Bronco's not yet. I need to add it on there. But, yeah, so I appreciated that. There's a female threaded bolt location top and center of the dashboard.
Really?
So that you can mount like an accessory holder system up there of some kind.
Oh, cool.
The 360 degree camera while backing out is really nice.
That's cool.
That works awesome.
My brother's Leaf has that.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you put it down into four low, it takes the screen and puts it on the front camera.
Oh,
and I'm like, that's stupid. I want my map back.
I don't know where I'm going.
I don't want a front camera. What are you talking about?
I need my maps. I need
my navigation. So I think I might I think I might try and find a way to make sure the map comes up navigation rather than the front camera. But I think I want to relocate that front camera to look at the underbelly.
Oh yeah.
Of the Bronco.
Okay.
So that if I get hung up on something, I could turn on the front camera and look and see where the rock is on my underbelly.
I'm sure somebody has invented a switch somewhere that will allow you to switch it between one or another.
I'm not too happy with how the engine sounds in the exhaust. It sounds like the Subaru.
Yeah. Well, it is a four banger.
It's a 2.7 liter six cylinder.
Oh, I thought you had the four cylinder.
Oh, no.
Oh, you guys got the six.
2.7 liter six cylinder. Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Really? So twin turbo. Yeah. Twin turbo, 2.7 liter.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So tiny ass little cylinders.
Yeah.
But it surprisingly gets up and goes for how tiny the cylinders are. And it likes to cruise at like 85 miles an hour. Like there was a lot of times when I was just going along and I would look down, I'm like at 85 or 86. It's like, oops, I didn't mean to be going that fast.
Yeah, sure.
So it likes to go. It has the 4.7 gears in the diffs, lockers front and rear. I did when I got home, there's a couple roundabouts in my neighborhood.
Okay.
So I turned on the lockers and went around the roundabouts just to listen to the tires chirp.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, that's a great sound. So I did that sway bar disconnect in the front and that works fine. And then we messed around with the tank turn down up at when we were up at Sage's wedding.
Yeah.
So the big dirt parking lot we were parked in, we waited until it cleared out a little bit. And then I went over to the middle of the lot and played around with the tank turn on it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Worked out fine.
It worked out great. It probably turned the turning radius, cut it down by 40%, 50% maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say 2/3.
Yeah, it's about. So yeah, so far I'm really happy with it. We've had a lot of rain over the past few days since I got it.
Yeah.
And I haven't found any leaks in the hard top yet.
Okay.
That's good. I may have lucked out and got a good hard top. I don't know. Or they just haven't developed yet.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Yeah. It was a lot of fun to check it out and ride in one and walk around it, you know, and look at it, you know, sitting in the back seat. I didn't get to see a whole lot of the dash in the front, but you know, the back of the front seats has Molly panels on them and then pockets underneath and there's pockets in the doors. I think it's a well thought out rig. You know, I think Ford has put a lot of thought into who's going to use this vehicle and really targeted the vehicle at that person.
Yeah,
and I agree. For the most part, from what I'm hearing, everybody that is somewhat like you that actually plans on using this as a daily driver off-road rig really likes it.
Yep.
I think that everybody says, good job, Ford. You fucking nailed it with the design on this.
Yeah, I would agree. So far, phenomenal product that they have produced. Still not happy with Ford as a customer service.
No. Yeah.
And caring about their customers.
It sucks.
But
stick it to the man. You're going to still buy another one.
I'm going to keep my order in the system. And if it gets built, then I'll sell it and get some money back on everything. So, yeah. So yeah, that's the Bronco. So as I kind of figure stuff out, I'll get updates. I do know right now, we're going to be taking the Bronco to Moab. And we're going to drive down quite a few days earlier from when we're going to meet up with everybody. We're going to make stops along the way. So we're going to go down through Vegas.
Cool.
The highway 50, not the highway 50 route. We're going to go down through Vegas, Barstow, Vegas. And then we're going to stop in through Hurricane.
Yeah.
And then come up that way. And so we have a couple of stops planned to go play in the Bronco over the 4-day period while we're traveling up there. So that'll be fun. But in order to take that trip and go off-roading, I was like, I want to make sure that we're okay in the Bronco. Uh-huh. So I already have a front bumper and sliders and winch lined up.
Oh, cool.
For the Bronco. It's just going to be a matter of if we can get them in time.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll keep everybody updated on that, how that goes. But I told the secretary, I was like, look, I know it's your car, but we need to have sliders on it so that we don't fuck up the doors.
Yes.
And we need to have a winch on it so that if something happens, we can get ourselves out. Like, it's just safety and not fucking up the doors are my main priorities. After that, whatever we want to do to it, whatever you want to do to it is what'll happen. So she said, okay. So
Yeah,
we're getting bumpers, sliders, and a winch right away.
Cool.
And then after that, it'll be up to her.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. And I'm excited to see how it does in Moab and see how you guys like wheeling it. And yeah. Are you going to get new tires before then too? Or are you going to just
keep those?
Keep them.
Yeah. Because I'm going to get beadlock wheels for it too eventually. And so I'll probably just get new tires when we get the beadlock wheels. And I will probably, since it's going to be more of a kind of overlanding rig, longer road miles, we'll probably go with those, the same tires that we have on the trucks.
The XATs?
Yeah, the XATs from Yokohama. You're
not just going to do ATs?
No, I think I want the XATs.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I really like that tire.
Too. even driving in this crazy weather, I was shocked about how much traction I'm getting.
Or you're not getting when you want to not get it.
When I not want to get it and I turn all the traction control off it, they actually slide controlled well.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I get what you're saying. So yeah, I'm thinking the Geolander XATs from Yokohama. I've had them on the F-150 now for a while. You've had them on Charlotte for even longer.
Yeah.
And I've been super happy with them. Dimitri over at Stellar Build, I got him turned on to them. He's been putting them on all of his vehicles too now.
Oh, has he?
The XATs, yeah. So yeah, I think that's what we're going to put on the Bronco as well. And that'll just come down in a little bit here. I'll probably, because I need to buy new wheels for the new axles for Kermit.
Right.
So I'll probably just end up getting both sets of wheels at the same time. See if I can work a deal.
What's the lug pattern on this?
I don't know.
Can you put your old wheels on that?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Right. If they're 6 on 5.5, that's a good question.
I don't know if they are, but I don't know what it is.
They're 6 lug. I don't know if they're 6 on 5.5 though, or like a weird 170 millimeter pattern, like what Ford did with the 05 and up Super Duties.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyways,
one way to find out.
Yep.
See if you can fit a 40 on there.
Yeah. Take them off, swap them real quick. Hey, look, I got 40s in the Bronco.
Don't turn.
I know. Don't turn. You can only go straight, but you got 40s. Now, somebody asked me when I was going to get portals put on it. And I was like, it's up to the wife. And if 704 Weld wants to give me some.
I think that was Rodney.
Probably.
Yeah. I've been thinking about Birdwalk. I've been thinking about those portals. To some extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're always thinking about those portals.
We are, yeah.
But I thought it would be an interesting move on Toyota axles.
I think it'd be a brilliant move on Toyota axles.
It would be a good chunk of money up front, but it makes the axles wider.
Yep.
It reduces the stress on the ring and pinion.
Uh-huh.
You'd probably have to go back up from your 529s to 411s again. 411s
or 456s, yeah.
Yeah, stock gearing.
Yeah.
Because the portals are doing a bunch of the reduction.
Uh-huh.
So if you wanted to drive on the road, you'd probably want to go back up to stock gearing.
Yeah.
And they're beefy. So I was like, that would be a really interesting concept about like, okay, how much money are you going to spend on buying like custom built
portals?
How much is it to cost buy the portals, and how much does it cost to buy custom built 60s?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you gain more clearance.
Yeah, because you keep the Toyota 8-inch, which has ground clearance for days, and you add that on portals.
And you top it on some portals.
Yeah.
Right? And then, they're, 4 or 5 inches wider?
About that, yeah.
Per side?
Yeah, so you'd be sitting right around, 69 WMS, roughly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would actually be a really good idea.
And then you don't have to get the massive... offset wheels. Mm-hmm. You can get the wheels that go in a little bit if you want to, where you get a positive offset.
Mm-hmm.
So you could play with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I was toying that around. I think, what is it? What would be, how much is a pair of those portals?
They're about 20 grand, for all four. So grand for one, 10 grand for a pair.
And how much? And it's like a few grand, maybe five, maybe upwards of five for a really high end Dana 60,
like an ultimate Dana 60 or a Curry Rock Jock 60 front axle, you're looking at about $6,000 to $7,000.
Yeah. And a rear is probably three.
Yeah.
So you're maybe half the price, but the benefits you gain are probably a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that was an interesting thing, but it is an immense amount of money to throw out right at once.
It is. It's a big chunk all at once, but that's what a firm is for. Financing options available.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm going to start doing. My new business model is going to be to finance people's portals. makes everybody feel good about themselves and will offer good interest rates.
There you go. Well, I'll be your first customer.
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right. Well, moving on. We're already almost an hour onto this recording platform. Oh my God,
are we?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. What else do we got to get to?
We haven't even talked about the weekend.
Oh my God. This is going to be a 3-hour episode now.
No, like, we can sum this thing up.
I think so. Okay.
We had a fantastic time at CJ's wedding.
I had a really, really good time. I'm usually not a big fan of weddings.
Okay.
I don't like crowds of people. I don't like being in crowds of people. I don't like wedding ceremonies. I feel like wedding ceremonies drag on too long. But I really thoroughly enjoyed CJ's wedding.
It was awesome. And you know what?
It was fantastic.
Maybe my happiest moment of the entire wedding was.
Maybe I do. I know what mine was. And I know that you and I were talking about it when my happiest moment happened.
Oh, well, I'll say mine because I don't have any clue what we were doing.
Okay.
Mine was seeing CJ walking.
Yep. 100%. Okay. Yep. You and I were talking about that. We were watching him. He was going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And we were both just like, that is so fucking cool to see him walking. And you would never tell looking at him walking that his pelvis was just crushed.
Right. Yeah. No cane, no crutches, no walker, nothing. I mean, maybe he took a good amount of drugs or something. I don't know, but his gait looked great. Everything, you know, I watched his posture a little bit. In my past history of in my medical device job, we actually did a job about gait and posture and walking. So I watched him walk away from us and I was like, dude, he's walking great. And I was so stoked for him for that.
Yeah.
So stoked for everything that he's got going right now in his life. You know, just got married to a beautiful young lady, Stephanie, and they couldn't be happier together. They look amazing. They're a cute couple.
Yeah. My happiest moment was their first dance.
Oh yeah.
For the same reason.
Sure.
I was like,
I get it.
That is so fucking cool to see him be able to do his first dance unassisted, you know, just him and Stephanie. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
So,
we had a lot of fun before that. We went out wine tasting. The secretary's family has a membership out there in the Napa area and was kind enough.
Cliff Winery.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The owners, started Cliff Bars.
Yep.
Yep. And so they ended up making enough money on Cliff Bar that they wanted a winery. So they opened a winery.
Another tax write-off.
Yep.
Yeah. So we went to Cliff Family Winery and did some wine tasting. And so thanks to their family for allowing us to all go do that. During that time we were driving the Bronco around. So we drove up to St. Helena, went wine tasting, drove out to the ceremony, hung out there. And then we went back to the Airbnb we rented and we jumped in an Uber and went to the reception because we all wanted to have some drinks.
Yep.
And, you know, there was an open bar. We hung out. Fantastic food.
Yes.
Holy cow.
That is, I heard it said multiple times, but I will 100% agree. I think that's the best wedding food I've ever had.
I might. Yeah. I've had some good wedding food, but that one was definitely up there for sure.
I want their recipe for the mac and cheese.
Oh, see, I didn't have the mac and cheese.
Oh, it was amazing. But, I had like 3 helpings of the mac and cheese. I was going to puke, but I was like, it's so good.
The assistant, most of you probably know this by now, but she's vegetarian, right? But there was no vegetarian option when you signed in.
Okay.
There was meat or vegan. And so I was like, well, I guess she's vegan today.
Getting the vegan one.
You know, and so when we sat down, they had like what is being handed out, like on your plate. Like, here's the food that is coming. And she's like, well, I guess I'm going to eat a bunch of the salads and you'll get my meat portion. And first of all, it was like family dining. So they just brought up these huge plates of food and you just passed it all around.
Yep.
And I had forgotten that I had ordered her vegan. So I don't know how they found her.
Yeah.
Maybe they knew where we were roughly sitting.
They probably had because they had seating assignments because they had,
that's true. They had names down.
Lizard. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, by the time she had eaten like 5 bowls of salad, then they brought out her main dish, which was a vegan
polenta
thing. And she was like, oh my God. So she ate that all. And we were both full throughout the next day.
Yeah.
We were so full, which made drinking a little hard, but we still drank enough to have a good time for sure. We had after wine tasting and then having some champagne at the ceremony, mm-hmm. which I think is the first wedding I've ever been to where they're serving alcohol before they even got married.
Yep. During the ceremony you were had, and I think that helped a lot too. Like their ceremony wasn't long and drawn out, no. which was really nice.
Yeah.
But it was even better because we got to have alcohol during the ceremony.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Some friends from the off-roading community were there. Mm-hmm. The president of Esperita 4 was there. Daryl. Kelly, which was a past president was there.
Past president Jason was there.
Past president Jason Green hung out with us. You and I, and then maybe some others, but I'm not, those are the only ones that I knew of mm-hmm. in the off-roading community.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had a fantastic time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now to talk about the BBV.
The BBV, right? Yeah. We were like, well, we want to be able to drink. Everybody wanted to drink. We didn't want to have a designated driver. And so we took an Uber, a Lyft, whatever, from our Airbnb to the reception, which was about a 45-minute drive.
Yeah. To save money.
To save money. To
get any hotel or house or anything out in Napa is so much money.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And so we're like, cool, we'll just do that. We'll get an Uber back at 10, 11 p.m., whatever it is, whenever we're done dancing, whenever we're done drinking, whatever it is. And so we it's about 10:30 as everyone's kind of starting to leave and end in the night. Yeah. And we were like, okay, yeah, we're getting done. Let's head back to the Airbnb. And we pulled up Uber, and the ride for an Uber XL was $193.
Yeah. There was five of us. We had, mm-hmm. you know, me and the assistant, you and the secretary and Verde.
Mm-hmm.
So we had five people.
Yep.
For the Airbnb.
Yep. So we were like, fuck, that's expensive. Let's pull up Lyft and see what the XL
that was
is
like almost as much as the rent was to rent the house.
I know. And so we pull up Lyft and it was 140, something like that. And we're like, let's wait a couple minutes and just keep checking. So one popped up on Lyft for 120, I think.
One popped up for 60.
For 60, that's right. It was a 60 something. And so we're like, take it.
Yeah.
So we took it. And it's like, all right, your ride is confirmed. Waiting to find you a driver. Yeah. Waiting to find you a driver.
Still waiting to find you a driver.
10 minutes later. 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Still waiting to still find waiting. You a driver.
Meanwhile, I don't know who accepted that one, but the assistant and Jason were on different apps mm-hmm. trying to find best rates and best drivers.
Yeah.
And so, the other one was still looking and not finding anything.
Nothing was being accepted. There were no drivers around.
But at one point, Jason did get an acceptance.
He did get an acceptance. Yep.
And it was 10 minutes out.
Uh-huh. We had been waiting about 10 minutes in total.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. And then it said he's 10 minutes out, 8 minutes out, 5 minutes out, 4 minutes out. Oh, driver canceled.
Yeah. We're like, what?
Yeah.
And then we got an Uber. I think we found an Uber one popped up for around 140. I think that's where the 141 was. We're like, fuck it, just take it.
Yeah.
And we took it and that driver canceled within like 30 seconds.
Right.
And we're like, what the
fuck? Yeah.
We're stranded out here. Can't get a freaking ride back.
By this time we had migrated from the wedding venue building through the restaurant, to the front, mm-hmm. area. And I think a busser or somebody had walked by and he's
dishwasher bus or something like that.
He's like, are you guys trying to get an Uber or a Lyft? And we're like, yeah. He's like, good luck.
Yeah. So try these two taxi companies.
Yeah. Try these taxi companies. Nobody really comes out here after like the wineries close.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wonderful. How
good
lovely.
To know. So we called the taxi companies mm-hmm. and both of them told us pretty much to fuck off.
Yep. Well, the red, there was a black cab and a red cab or something like that. And the red cab was said, today is February 10th and we are only accepting rides to the airport.
Yeah. And it was March, whatever 10th or March 11th at that time. So.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, well that one's done. And then black cab pretty much said, no,
we don't have anybody out there.
Nobody's out there.
We're not going out that way.
Yeah. So we kept trying on Uber and Lyft. And then I forgot the big black van, the BBV
mm-hmm.
pulled up at some point
mm-hmm.
and somebody joked about it. Well, go ask him.
Yeah, somebody was like, oh, go ask him. And so the secretary was like, okay.
Yeah, she took it upon herself.
She just took off and went to it. And everyone's like, wait, is she actually doing that? I was like, she doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. Like, if she wants to get somewhere, she's going to get there.
Right. So she asked him and she came back and she said that, oh, he can take two of us.
Yeah.
And we're like, no.
Yeah, it's all an all or nothing. Yeah. For $100. We offered him $100.
We offered him $100 cash. And so somebody went back and talked to him and said, okay, he'll take us all there for $100. And it turned out it was the DJ.
Yeah, it was the DJ for the wedding.
And the back was full of all the DJ equipment.
Yep.
And the secretary sat in the passenger seat and the four of us sat in the back. Mm-hmm. I sat on a generator.
I was on a speaker.
Yeah. I don't know. The assistant sat on the ground. I don't know.
The floor.
Yeah, on the floor. And Verde was on your lap.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
No, he was on the wheel well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, 40-minute drive down the freeway in the rain, us sitting in the back of the BBV.
Yep.
Hopefully we're going to the right spot.
Yep. Hopefully he's taking us home. And our home, not his home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we did find out his home was pretty much almost practically on the way back where we were. He wasn't really going out of the way at all.
Yeah.
He may be 10 minutes out of his way total.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he made some good cash. We got home safely. We're here to talk about it.
Yeah.
We got back to the Airbnb and we poured a bunch of whiskey out and I was like, well, that was an adventure. Here's to CJ. And so now we have a BBV story.
Yeah. Yeah. It all worked out.
Yeah.
So nobody died.
Nobody died. We all got home.
Nobody got penetrated. So we're good.
Nope.
Oh man.
Yeah. So that was a fun weekend. That was our weekend. We weren't able to go to Black Tie event, Black Tie and Boots, cause we were out at the wedding.
Yep. CJ with a CJ, who we've had on the podcast before.
Yes, we have.
A couple of times. So he's in great spirits. He just got a Rivian SUV.
Yes, he did.
Just picked it up a couple of days ago. So
S1?
The R1S.
R1S, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so I was like, cool. When are we taking through the Rubicon? Anyway, so great seeing CJ. Awesome wedding. It was fun hanging out with everybody in our group at the off-roading table, and I had a good time. So, but there was also Black Tie and Boots going on this weekend.
There was. Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of there in spirit.
How's that?
I ended up making a bunch of wood.
The rounds.
People got to see a lot of my wood.
They did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And touch and feel my wood.
Yep.
Yeah.
And take your wood home.
And they got to take my wood home. Yeah. And then I got calls and requests for people to get more of my wood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Must have been some good wood.
I have some amazing wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I also have hair on my microphone. Get out of here.
That's what happens when you
when you got good wood. Oh, man. No. So for Black Tie and Boots, I wanted to.
Yeah. A few things went on.
Yeah. There was a few things going on. There was 23 tables and somebody, I don't remember how the idea came up, but somebody was like, man, I got to figure out something for the centerpieces. But they also wanted me to do another laser, some sort of round, some design into a round. We were talking about what to do with the design. And I was like, let's do rounds for the centerpieces. Every table gets a centerpiece. And because pretty much the way that the tables work at Black Tie and Boots are they're sold by per table.
Right.
And then whoever buys that table is in charge of selling all the seats to get some of their money back. Right. And so that's part of the big fundraiser of Black Tie and Boots is selling the dinners. And so each table is typically purchased by one entity kind of thing, or one entity will buy multiple tables kind of thing.
Like there's a Mad Hatter's table, the Mad Hatter's off-road club purchases a table and then they bring a bunch of members typically.
Yeah. Yep. And so our Treasure Hunters had three tables.
Oh, wow.
Arabia's Overkill, Jeepers Jamboree. There's the President's Table that Ken Hauer gets to bring in his select group of buddies and friends with. And I'm like, why wasn't I invited to that table, Ken?
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah. Am I not select enough?
Yeah. John and Barbara Arnes had a table.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of, there's 23 tables, right? And I was like, let's put Black Tie and Boots
across the top
with the Rubicon Trail Foundation logo in the center, and then across the bottom have whoever that table belongs to. Okay. So it's like Mad Hatter's 4x4 Club or Sierra Treasure Hunters or whatever it is across the bottom. And I did them all out of walnut.
Oh,
so nice. I went down and I picked up, I don't know if we talked about this in the podcast.
We did talk about you buying a bunch of wood.
I bought a bunch of wood, some walnut trees.
Or at least you posted it on social media.
Yeah. Anyway, so I went down and found some walnut trees. A walnut orchard was swapping over their trees and getting rid of a bunch of them. So I went down there and bought 9 of them to start making these wood rounds that we've been talking about for trail fundraisers. And I decided kind of use this job to figure out the process for processing these rounds. And they all came out great. They came out really, really good. And apparently there was a lot of talk at Black Tie and Boots about how much everybody loved them.
Oh, cool.
I was like, that's awesome. That's what we want. We want people to come to Black Tie and Boots and have a great time, have a good experience, get some fun items, and spend some money to go back and do the trail. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that was it. And I believe they set a record this year.
Oh, good.
For how much money they've been able to raise.
Oh, cool.
So, really cool. There was that John Arnes built a table, a redwood table,
I believe.
And so I lasered the RTF logo into the center plank of the table.
Oh, nice.
And so that turned out really well. I think that table got $2,700 in the live auction.
Wow.
The tree root from the Big Sluice tree that fell down in Big Sluice.
Yes.
The tree root that everybody drove over, thousands and thousands of vehicles have driven over this tree root. I got that tree root and I took it off trail that year the tree fell.
Okay.
And so I gave it to Shannon.
Yes.
And Shannon is the lady that does the Rubicon Trail sign at Loon Lake, right? And so she is a brilliant artist. She does some really freaking cool stuff. And each year she does something special, a couple something specials for Black Tie and Boots to be done in the live auction. And so I know that they made a bench. A wood bench out of the Big Sluice tree as well.
Oh, did they?
Yep.
Okay.
They've made a big wood bench out of the juniper.
Yeah.
That was that fell down from a Little Sluice. And then she took the root and made a table out of leaf springs, like almost like a sidewall table, kind of like that guy there that we keep our spare parts on.
Okay. Sort of a tall coffee table.
Yeah. A thin, narrow one, right?
Okay.
That's designed to go up against a wall in like a hallway or something. Yes. She made a table out of leaf springs and then has the root on a stand and displayed on top of the table.
Oh, sweet.
It turned out awesome. So I was like, this is why I gave it to Shannon, because she has a brilliant mind for coming up with some really cool creative stuff. So that I got live auctioned off. I don't know how much that got. I don't know how much the bench got. And then I also did a little charcuterie board with the RTF logo laser down the bottom left corner.
Okay.
And so, it was a lot of fun putting together those and, kind of still getting to be at Black Tie and Boots and support it and be part of the event without actually being there.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The another thing you were working on for Black Tie and Boots was Marlon's spot.
That's right. Last minute. Yeah.
Because Marlon was supposed to attend Black Tie and Boots. Mm-hmm. And so they I don't know how to state it formally or politely. Mm-hmm. Dressed up Marlon's chair of where he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think they wrapped it in some black ribbon and then, they made a sign for him and, I have his RC truck.
Yep.
And so I gave my RC truck to you to, that was taking it out to that area to drop everything off.
Yep.
And I had, I don't know, 10 stickers of Marlon's and I was like, post as many stickers anywhere as you want. Use them all up. I don't care. And so they posed my truck up on a obsidian rock. Was that the plan?
That was the plan. I'm not sure exactly how they ended up posing it or getting it out there, but yeah, that was the plan.
We're not even sure. We haven't seen photos of it. So we're not even sure if it was used, but that was from before the event. This was the plan that they were going to do. So it was pretty neat that they were honoring Marlon, at the event.
Yeah.
So that was really cool of them.
I did get a little chuckle because, you know, Black Tie and Boots, it's the Rubicon Trail Foundation. It's a lot of Jeep people, you know, RTF, Jeepers Jamboree. They go hand in hand. They work very closely together. And so it's a lot of Jeep people. And so nobody had any Marlon Crawler stickers or decals anything.
Is that why? Okay.
And so, I got the call. They're like, Tyler, you're a big Toyota person. Do you have any Marlin stickers? I was like, no, I actually hate stickers and I usually just throw all stickers away. But a really, really good buddy of mine I know is a sticker hoarder.
Yeah.
And they were like, who? I was like, Jimmy. They're like, oh, he's the other Toyota person. I was like, yes, I'm sure he has some. Let me make some calls.
Yeah.
So that's when I called you.
Like four of his 6-inch stickers uh-huh. and a good handful of the smaller 3-inch ones or whatever they yep. were. I just went through my sticker bucket and like pretty much pulled out every Marlin crawler one I had to give to them to use however they saw it best fit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
They had a thing memorial to
keep stickers.
Yep. They had a little Marlin memorial out at Black Tie and Boots as well, which is mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a silent seat or what, I forget what those are called.
Yeah. It was really cool of them.
Yeah. That was really neat. So that was a Black Tie and Boots.
Yep.
What else do we got on that list over there?
Well, I think all that we have left on this list over here really is you've got a rant for us.
I do. And I'm only bringing this up because I have a stalker on Instagram who listens to the podcast and he gives me shit every single time I complain about something customer service related.
Okay.
Or just stupid rants like my leaf blower rant or my straw rant.
And does this person know who they are?
I don't know who they are. I just know them by their Instagram account.
Okay.
I don't remember what happened was I was posting about all the parts that have been coming in for the suspension and axles.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And uh-huh. he goes, it's nice to see you not bitching, complaining about something for once.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, don't worry. I have a good one coming up just for you. So I have to put this one out there just for him.
Oh, okay. You weren't ranting on the fact that he was poking fun at you?
No.
Oh, I thought that would have been the great rant that you'd be complaining about having somebody complain about you.
That would have been funny. No, this one is an actual rant. Okay. I got a little worked up over this one. So we're setting up the warehouse here, right?
Sure.
The Morphlate warehouse. Mm-hmm. And having to set up trash services and a dumpster.
Okay, yeah.
And so there's two trash companies that kind of do dumpster service in the Sacramento area, greater Sacramento area, Waste Management and Republic Services.
Yep.
And so I called Waste Management and I was like, hey, I need to set up an account. I need a dumpster this size. And they're like, okay, cool. Also, the state of California just made it so that it is illegal to dump organic waste into landfills.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Didn't so know that. You can't dump organic waste in with your trash anymore. You have to put it into your green waste bin. And so I don't know if it was the state or the city.
I think my guess is city because where I live, we don't have a green waste bin.
That would make more sense. I thought it was California. Somebody just said, but
I also throw green waste in the backyard and burn it. So
that's true too. But the other company, Republic, does not require organic. So
it must be,
I'm guessing it's,
it city. Must be geographical location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, Waste Management was like, there's a law now that states you have to have an organics bin. Everybody has to get one. And in order to get a waiver, you have to talk to Sacramento.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I don't have time to go through all this, whatever. Just give me the bin. And so I was like, okay, set up delivery, first month's charge, regular for regular service, all setup fees and everything. What are we looking at for pricing? They're like, $500 to $600 for your setup, delivery of the bins, your first month service and taxes and fees on that. And I was like, okay, $500 to $600. So my monthly bill was going to be about $250. I'm like,
wow,
that kind of sucks, but it would be brought down to about $180, $190. If I got an organics waiver from the city.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, let's get it set up and going. Cause we need the trash bin, but I'll work on the waiver. Dropped off the dumpster and the organics bin. And it took the dude 8 minutes, under 10 minutes to drop them off.
Yeah.
And then they left and I got my first bill. It was $1,000.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you said it was $5,600.
That's what they told me. And so I called them and I was like, hey, you know, I'm just reaching out. I think there might've been a mistake with my bill, but I just want to go over it with somebody to make sure that we just get it figured out here.
Okay.
I said, I think there's a mistake and there's two line items that seem a little egregious, but I just want to check in with you and see what's going on.
Sure.
So they had charged me two delivery fees.
Oh,
for $235 a piece.
For each bin.
One for each bin. That was my assumption. I was like, it shouldn't be because I only delivered once.
Right.
And then there was a fuel and environmental fee that was $350, something like that.
What?
Yeah.
For so driving the truck over there?
That was my thought. They don't explain it on the bill. So that's why I'm calling in to try to figure out what the fuck these are.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I just talked to the, I'm like, hey man, I just think there's something weird going on with my bill. I just want to go through some of the line items and get explanations of them.
Yeah.
And see if that is correct or if we need to make corrections to the bill here. And he goes, okay, cool. So I was like, first off, I have two delivery charges for $235 here, but the person only delivered once. Right. He was only here once and he was here for less than 10 minutes. And the guy goes, how many bins did you get? And I said, we got two. He goes, yeah. So you get one delivery charge per bin. And I was like, even though you only make one delivery and the dude was here for less than 10 minutes, like he makes $400 an hour, like more than that, $400 every 10 minutes. So he's making, what is that? $2,400 an hour. Like that's how much you guys, that's your hourly rate for delivery then is up to $2,400 an hour. Like if I had gotten a third bin and he was here for 10 minutes, that would have been $700. And the guy was like, yep, that's how that works. And I was like, are you guys intentionally trying to fuck your customers?
Yeah.
And,
like,
and he goes, yeah, I'm sorry. That's just the way the protocols work. And I was like, that's a pretty fucking shitty protocol, man.
Yeah, that is stupid.
I was like, you realize that you are intentionally pissing off and taking advantage of your customers if that's what you're doing and it's intentional. And he goes, yeah, sorry, that's how it works. And I said, all right, we'll move on from that one. And now I'm pissed.
Right.
I'm like, that's just stupid. How the fuck do you run a business doing that?
You're going to have a $250 charge when they come to pick it up.
Yep. Yep. So to pick it up and close out the account is more money to have them do that. So anyways, we'll get into that. And so going down, I'm like, all right, give me a second. Okay. So what is this fuel and what did I say the first time?
I don't remember.
Fuel and environmental charge.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? It's $350. I was like, it did not cost you $350 in gas to bring. Is that going to be every time my bill hits? Or is that just part of the initial bill? And he goes, that's part of the initial. And I was like, so was it associated with delivering the stuff? It didn't cost you $350 in fuel. You should be more than able to pay for that in the $470.
The delivery fee
that you charged me. And he goes, no, that's actually a tax from the state of California to offset essentially the emissions cost of delivering your stuff. And then taking everything into the landfill for you. There's
so throughout the year.
Yeah. He said, that's not going to hit every single bill. That's just on your first one. But I was like, okay, well, how is that calculated? $350 seems egregious. And he goes, it's a tax and it's a percentage of your entire first bill. And I was like, hold on. So my first bill without that was $650, $700. And that's $350. So that's like a 40, 45% tax.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, that's about right. I was like, oh, what? So hold on. So not only are you charging me a fucking stupid ass delivery charge, but now I'm getting taxed 40, 45% on this delivery charge. That's bogus. And he goes, yeah. And I was like, that's fucking stupid. What is wrong with you people? I was like, how do you hold customers? How do you retain customers? How does customers stay with you? I was like, if I did that with my business, I would be out of business tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If I did that to customers, and that's how my business structure was set up. And he goes, I don't know. We don't seem to have issues with it. And I was like, well, you're having a big issue now. And he goes, yeah, sorry. I was like, are there any other trash companies in Sacramento I can deal with? Because you guys are intentionally fucking your customers and I don't want to give you any business. And he goes, that's not my job to know. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll do some research and find out. He goes, okay, is there anything else I can help you with? I said, yeah, you can go fuck yourself because your company already fucked me. And I hung up on him.
Oh, damn.
So yeah, after that, I called around, and I found Republic Services.
Yeah. That's who I have.
I got fully set up with Republic Services on the internet without having to talk to somebody and go through their phone system. Initial one-time drop-off setup fee and everything for the first month was $350.
Wow.
So
should have called them first,
third,
huh?
A third of waste management.
Did they have that tax on it?
There was a tax on it and it was the same amount. But because they didn't charge me two delivery fees and a bunch of extra stuff, I didn't have to get the second bin.
Really?
And everything. Yeah. They didn't make me get the organics waste bin. So yeah, $350 for the first month. And their prices are cheaper. The process was a hell of a lot easier. And their delivery fee was like half.
Wow.
And that's half of one bin. So it was like a fifth of what the delivery ultimate delivery fee was that I got charged with waste management.
So what's the moral of the story?
Do your research. Price out companies.
Yeah.
Yep. So I called back waste management and I was like, I want to cancel the account. And they're like, okay, cool. Yeah, no problem. We can do that for you. Oh, it seems like you just got this set up like less than 2 weeks ago. Is everything okay? And I was like, no, it's not okay. And they're like, well, what's going on? And I was like, there's two delivery charges on my bill. And I got the taxed on top of the delivery charges too, and it's just bogus. And I wasn't appreciative of how your customer service handled it. And I don't want to stay with you. I don't want to keep giving you guys money. I don't want to do business with you. And the guy goes, "Oh well, that doesn't seem right. Let me get rid of one of those delivery charges for you." And I was like, "Please do, but I'm already done with you. I've already signed up for another service. I'm out of here. Like I don't want to deal with you guys. The damage is done." And he goes, okay, well, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Delivery charges knocked off your bill and that's all. And, I'll hand this over to the rep that signed you up in the first place. Since it's so new, they're going to have to cancel you, but you should be all set with a different bill now. And okay. I was like, how hard was that to do?
Right.
The first time.
Well, you had to call back to cancel to get them to at least try and keep you to some extent.
But why? I don't know. Businesses that do that piss me off.
Yes.
It's terrible customer service. And I don't know how businesses stay in business doing that.
I don't know. Well, it's waste management.
I guess so.
So and I think their logic is, who else are you going to go with? Because when you're telling me that story, I'm like, fuck, I'm going to get a dump truck and just drive around and let people throw crap in the back of the dump truck and I'll drive to the dump.
Yeah. Right.
And I'll empty my dump truck.
Yeah.
And it'll cost you $10 to throw a bag in or something.
Yeah.
I have the Republic one.
Yeah.
And I ordered a trash can for the new house.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have trash cans. Okay. I had to wait for 4 weeks to get a trash can.
Uh-huh.
And I missed the very first week of when I got signed up and I called them. I'm like, hey, when is the trash can showing up? And that's when they told me, they're like, oh, we're sorry, we're out of trash cans. And I'm like, well, you could have let me know that beforehand. So can you when are trash cans showing up? And they're like, probably like 3 weeks. I'm like, okay, well, will you take 4 weeks off of my bill?
Yeah.
Because if I'm not going to be able to put trash out for a month, like I'm going to have to figure out something else, prorate my bill. And she's like, well, you can just put the bags out on the street. Like what?
You can?
That's what she said.
So you don't even have to buy the trash can then?
That's what I was like. So how much do you charge me to use the trash can?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it wasn't that much actually.
Oh, okay.
It's like, it was like $15.
Oh.
You know, and I was like, okay. But I have like 55 or like 35 gallon trash cans.
Yeah. Can you just use those then?
Yeah. Oh. You can. And it knocked $15 off. And so I was like,
okay.
Well, shit, maybe I'll do that. And then I spoke to the assistant and she's like, no, I like the rolly ones and I don't want to have to carry it out every time. I'm like, well, you don't take the trash out anyways, but whatever. So eventually the can came and I was able to throw stuff away. But yeah, I thought that was funny. I was like, what? That's so weird. Anyway, so your rant reminded me of something else that I want to talk about real quick. This will be fast-ish. I called the electrical company, PG&E.
Oh, good luck with that. PG&E sucks.
They weren't too bad.
Okay.
I called customer service and I wanted to go over my bill for the new house because there's nothing in the house. Nobody's living in the house. And pretty much there's a few appliances. One of them is a refrigerator that is plugged in. Hence I've turned it down.
Uh-huh.
And I'll go into further detail about that later. But that's really the only thing in the house. And my bill is $45 a month.
Jeez. Okay.
And I'm like, why is it just seems high.
Yeah.
I'm paying $45 to run an empty house.
Yeah.
And there's no heater on. The heater's off. The AC's off. Everything, like all the lights are off.
Uh-huh.
Everything's for the most part is powered down and it costs $45.
Yeah.
I'm like, something's not right here. Yeah. So I called PG and I went line by line and she's like, I can see everything you're talking about. And that is how much it costs to maintain that house.
Wow.
Like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's $45 for, that's my base fee. Mm-hmm. Like, that, if nothing is happening in the house, that's how much it costs.
Yeah.
So I've since now I've gone and I've flipped the main breaker for the entire house and
shut it all off.
Shut the whole entire house off. All the wells are now off. That house is completely powered down.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let it go for like a week or so. And then I can go on to BGNE.com and I can go look at the graphs and everything.
Yeah.
And I can see what it's running.
Yeah.
Like, how much are you charging me to have no power?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not accepting any power.
Yeah.
How much are you charging me? And then I want to start, I'm going to turn the house on but leave the wells off.
Yeah.
And see if the wells are drawing a lot of power and then vice versa and stuff. So yeah. It's kind of an interesting thing. I'm playing a game with myself of how figure out what's drawing power and can I reduce that?
Yep. Yeah. PG&E, from what I've heard, they 6x'd their rates in California since the Paradise fire.
I know that they've doubled where we are.
Yeah.
If not more.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, everybody wants to, you know, have a blame source for everything, and everybody needed to have a blame source for the Paradise fire, and everything got blamed on PG&E due to a power line issue. And I was like, all that's going to do is PG&E is just going to skyrocket their rates to pay for the litigations, the lawsuits and everything. And that's exactly what's happened. And now, you know, people who live like out in the boonies that barely run any power are paying $600-$700 a month.
Yep. So I actually don't get my power from PG&E.
Oh,
I get it from another power company.
Uh-huh.
But that power company makes the electricity, but it rents the architecture to get me the power. So I pay PG&E for a rental fee for the lines, and I pay this other power company called Pioneer Electricity. And it's funny because on my PG&E bill, because everything I'm billed through PG&E, I don't quite fully understand all that, but they credit me the amount of power that was on the meter.
Okay.
And then part of my bill goes to that other company.
Okay.
Pioneer. And so for not having any house or any power, that PG&E charged me $22 for electricity. And that other company charged me $18 for electricity.
Interesting.
So I was getting a little less from them, but it still is kind of interesting because even if it was $22, that means having the meter and renting the architecture is twice my bill.
Yeah.
That's how much it costs. The power was half. I pay for half of that was power and the rest of that. So 20 some odd dollars for using the architecture and having the meter and $20 in electricity.
Yeah.
It still seems high.
Yeah.
So anyways, I thought that was a really interesting thing. You were having a problem with garbage and I was having an issue with electricity. So.
Yeah. Good stuff. I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, how do they retain customers? Is it just customers like, oh, damn, you screwed me out of $500.
I think customers,
but it costs too much to get out of the service now a pickup fee too, or
they just don't think that there's another option.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And you are so damn close to the dump too. I'd be like, every week, just throw stuff in the back of my truck.
Right. I'll just strap it down onto the trailer and take it over. So I don't know. That was my rant for the week I don't know how long it's been since I did one, but customer service, man. It blows me away how bad customer service is with companies.
Yes. So we were talking about that before we started recording.
That's true. All right, man, that does it. There's some more stuff that we could cover today, but we're going to save it for another episode. Some really fun things, I think, for next Thursday's episode. So stay tuned. We'll have some fun, some more fun topics for you, and a fun topic coming up on Monday as well. So, Jimmy, how can people get a hold of us if they wanted to let us know any feedback, snide comments, remarks, as Greg would say?
Yeah, you can always reach us on our emails at Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me at snailtrail4x4 on Instagram, and Tyler's over at 4x4 Toyota Tyler.
Cool.
Or you can call us 916-345-4744. Once again, that's 916-345-4744. Apparently, if you repeat things, it helps it go in the memory.
It's true.
That's true.
Yeah. Cool, man. Any final words for everybody out there to close out this awesome episode?
Nachos.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
All righty.
What did the drummer call his twin daughters?
His twin daughters?
Yes.
The drummer called his twin daughters. I don't know.
Anna 1, Anna 2.
Okay.